You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
And so I want to speak to you specifically about part of our celebration series. I want to speak to you about rejoicing. This is a long title this morning. I had about 14 different variations of what the title is going to be, but I settled on this one. And it is the divine practice of joyful celebration. And maybe you haven't looked at celebration in the Bible before, but we're going to get into it today. I want to talk to you about celebration. I want to talk to you about rejoicing. I want to talk to you about joy. And we're going to learn why we need to and how to activate biblical and divine practices around celebration. And so specifically today, if you're wondering what am I going to learn from today, we're going to learn this together. We're going to learn to celebrate what God has done. We're going to learn to celebrate what God is doing, and we're going to learn to celebrate what is to come. You know, did you know that the word joy in the dictionary comes from a Latin word meaning to rejoice, to feel great happiness? In the Greek, who wants to hear me pronounce something that's Greek? Is there anyone who's Greek here today? Thank goodness. In the Greek, the word rejoice is chairo, and it means to rejoice, to be glad, to rejoice exceedingly. My wife's laughing at my pronunciation. To be well, to thrive is what the word rejoice means. And you know, from the earliest scriptures in the Bible that God ordained for us to be a people who celebrate together, to be a people who celebrate what He has done in the past and the present. God has ordained it. And so this morning, the first thing we're going to look at is celebrating what God has done. And so we see in Exodus 12 that God speaks to His people to let them know that He is going to keep them safe. He's going to deliver them from being held captive. And so Exodus 12:14 says this: "This is the day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance." Been ordained that people would celebrate as a festival to the Lord. Even before God protects His people, before He saves His people, He lets them know what they need to do when He does. Let every generation to generation, come and celebrate God. Let there be a time and a festival of celebration. Let it last forever. It's this powerful moment. I want to encourage that if you're a first generation follower of Jesus, this is the posture that God has called you to. You've been saved through Jesus Christ. Come together. Celebrate God. Celebrate your salvation. Celebrate and rejoice in the salvation and protection that comes from Him. Celebrate the big things. Celebrate the small things. Celebrate the personal moments. Celebrate the greater church provisions. Celebrate what God is doing in our local church. Maybe you've been a multi-generational Christian and this is the first time that you've heard anyone say, "We got to celebrate stuff. We got to celebrate what God does, His provisions." And if you're a second generation Christian or a multi-generational Christian, can I ask you to raise your hands today? If you're a multi-generational, your family members before you've been saved? Now, you can put your hands down. God bless you of following the footsteps, the legacy that's been put before you. You know, one of the biggest challenges, however, for multi-generational followers of Jesus is that sometimes you may forget or stop remembering or stop celebrating what God has done in the past. You know, it was a revelation for your parents. It was a celebration of the first stone being laid in the local church building when your grandfather was a boy. It's in the past. And people stopped talking about it, so we stopped celebrating it. Or people talked about it not as a celebration, but a time where God moved, but He doesn't move now. I want to encourage you. It's time to start remembering and celebrating the goodness of God and His provision for you and the generations that have come before you. Multi-generation Christian, from one generation to the next, we remember and celebrate and give God glory. We've got our eyes firmly fixed on Him and what He's doing then, but what He's doing now as well. You know, if you're yet to hear of the stories of what God has done, hear them for yourself. Allow your heart to burn with the passion of God's faithfulness and God's protection. You know, get yourself ready. We need to tell them to the next generation. But if we stop remembering, if we forget, how can the next generation hear of His goodness and His provision and His greatness? We need to get ready to teach them to rejoice and celebrate. Here's some quick moments. For those of you who are unaware, here's some quick moments to celebrate what God has done in the past in Gateway Church. God planted us from a church plant out of Richmond Temple. In 1984, Pastor Tim Hall was our founding planting pastor. We've had faithful pastors over the years who have led us through multiple locations and spaces. They cared for and tended to God's people. I don't know about you, that's worth celebrating. It's worth celebrating faithful people following what God has asked them to do. In 1999, Pastor Phil and Glennis came to us and were the senior pastors. In the early 2000s, we acquired 5 acres on the Moolap Station Highway. In 2003, we moved into this building. In 2007, God provided for us so that we could purchase this building. 2015, Naomi and myself became the pastors of Gateway. And you know, the past financial year, we were able to pay almost $35,000 off the church loan. You know, we're believing to pay it off completely. We've got a word from God around it. And you know, as all of us sacrifice and allow God to provide through us miraculously, it will be done. But lastly, but certainly not least, people have been saved by Jesus and discipled in this church. I don't know about you, but these things are worth celebrating. These things are worth passing on to the next generation, which is why I'm passing it on to you now. Amen. See, we're not called to live in the past and be postured in nostalgia, but we are called to remember and celebrate and rejoice in God for what He's done in the past, to remind us of what He's going to do now, to remind us of what's to come. The divine practice of joyful celebration. See, when we celebrate what God has done and we tell it to the next generation, it creates a practice of celebrating together. Think about that for a moment. So I'm just passing on information. No, you're creating a space and opportunity for people to celebrate what God has done. So I believe it's imperative to learn to be a people that are deeply acquainted with celebration. Can I say that one more time? By the time we land this morning, you're going to be like, I've got to learn to celebrate better. I've got to learn to celebrate more. I've got to celebrate together with the people around me. I believe that it's imperative to learn to be a people who are deeply acquainted with celebration, to be deeply connected with joy and the practice of rejoicing. Why can that be hard at times? Well, it's completely countercultural to perhaps what you've grown up with. Was there a culture of celebration in your home? If there was, this is going to be easy for you. If there wasn't, this is like the complete opposite of what you've grown up with. And God's calling you to come into His practices, into His promises. You know, throughout the Gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we're able to see a clear practice of Jesus doing two things around celebration. He's either sitting with people, bringing a spirit of joy and celebration to their table, or is encountering people in such a way that they can do nothing else but rejoice with joyful exuberance and take their celebration to the people of their city or town. You know, to those who were lacking in joy, spiritually, emotionally, and physically, He gladly imparted it. So why is it important for us to learn how to activate the divine practice of joyful celebration? Well, the celebration is at heart a biblical practice. It's a biblical practice. You know, without joyful celebration, listen to this closely today. Without joyful celebration, Christian practices can become dull, faith-demising tools in the hands of modern keepers of law. Listen to what I'm saying today. I'm saying it very politely. Very politely. If we don't know how to celebrate, have joy rise up within us and celebrate together, our Christianity will become boring. It's like, oh, church is on. Ugh. Wonder if they'll notice I'm not there. Of course we know. If you're part of the bride. Of course we're going to notice if you're not there. Becomes dull. Your faith becomes weak. Trudging through the mud of Christianity. And eventually it gets to this point where it's like we become just lawful people. We've got to keep the commands, got to rock up. No, God doesn't want us to be lawful people. He wants to be people who are found in his grace and celebrate what he's done and is doing. See, rather, we are called to be joyful, Christ-filled ambassadors who practice celebration. In the book of Philippians, we're encouraged to be a people who rejoice and be full of joy always. It says this in Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. See, rejoice in the Lord always. Be full of joy always because you belong to the Lord. Again, I say be full of joy. Can't get much clearer than that, can you? So is this an optional thing? No, it be full of joy always. Belong to the Lord. Be full of joy. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. It's a biblical practice that God has for each and every single one of us. Amen. See, where does joyful celebration start? This is a question that we need to ponder today. It starts with a spirit of joy. We can't drum it up in our own selves. We can't all of a sudden just start, I'm just going to be joyful now. It starts with the spirit of joy. And I want us to look at the scriptures for confirmation of this today. In Galatians 5, 22 to 23, it says this, but the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. But the fruit of the spirit is joy. It starts with rejoicing. Joy starts with a spirit of joy. It's not something we don't just like all of a sudden wake up and we're like, I choose to be joyful today. It starts in the spirit. It starts with the fruit of the spirit rising up within us and coming out of us. If you have the spirit of God dwelling in you, if you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Spirit dwells within you. Amen. Who believes that? Hands up if you believe that today. 46%. Who believes that if you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Spirit dwells in you? Amen. Thank you for putting your hand up here if you don't believe it today. This gives you the opportunity to start cultivating the fruit of the Spirit in your actions. To start cultivating the fruit of the Spirit in your emotions, in your deeds, in your everyday life. You know, sometimes we can think that because it's a fruit of the Spirit, then it only applies to spiritual things. Well, no, the fruit of the Spirit applies to everyday things as well, amen. The way we talk to each other, the kindness that we show. I want to say this is, for some of you, this may feel a little bit off topic, but I really believe this today. When we start talking about it should show in our actions, our spirituality, our deeds, our everyday life. I want to say this, spiritually and emotionally people, connected people, don't look for sensationalism to feel. People who are spiritually and emotionally connected to God and themselves, they don't look to sensationalism to feel. Not after dopamine hits, not trying to stir things up. Their joy comes from the spirit of joy that dwells within them. See, spiritually and emotionally connected people look to celebrate and rejoice in what God has done, in what God is doing, and what he's going to do. See, in a world that is in a constant posture, him in a constant posture of seeking sensation and sensationalism, we, the church, should be postured for practicing divine and joyful celebration. But it comes from the spirit of joy. Amen. See, if joy is a fruit of the spirit, then rejoicing is proof of the spiritual fruit of joy. How do we activate this spirit of joy, you may ask? Well, in Psalms 118:24, it says this: "This is the day the Lord acted. We will rejoice and celebrate in it." If God acts, if God does something, if God moves, if God provides, it's as simple as we're going to celebrate it. We're going to celebrate it. We're going to make something of it. You know, if you're looking for things to celebrate, I would encourage you to read Psalm 118. There are some amazing passages of Scripture in that chapter that are worth celebrating about. But when God acts, when God moves, when He provides, when He makes a way, when God saves, when God redeems, when He saves a family member, we just simply got to make a decision. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to celebrate this moment. Second point today, we're going to celebrate what God is doing. You know, there is another celebration that we are called to do together. And so how do we know what God is doing? You know, sometimes it's like, I'm trying to like understand, like, how do I know whether I'm meant to celebrate this or this or this? How do we celebrate what God is doing? Well, I think it's a good place for us to start is in Revelations 12:11. For those of you who are familiar with this passage of Scripture, it says this: "And they have defeated Him by the blood of the Lamb." Who knows who the Lamb is? Jesus, come on, it's good. "By the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die." What I want to focus on today is that Jesus has defeated the work of the enemy. When we accept Him as Lord and Savior, we come into that victory also, amen. But we need to tell people of the testimony. How do we celebrate what God is doing right now? We share with each other the good things that God is doing. You know, maybe you think that testimony means that you were doing these horribly horrific things before you were saved, and you need to tell everybody about the horrible and horrific things that you were doing. So I used to do this and this and this. Those things aren't badges of honor, amen. The testimony is that God saved you and redeemed you from those things. The testimony is that God provided. The testimony is that God saved family members. So I want to encourage you. My testimony right now is what God did at our summit on the last weekend of June. I'm rejoicing in the moment of the summit that we had together. I'm rejoicing that what God did last week at church. I wasn't able to be here, but I watched it back later on. I'm rejoicing at the message of celebration and legacy that was preached last week. I'm rejoicing at the move of God and the worship last week. I'm rejoicing that we got a group of people in the room today who are saying, I'm all in for God. I'm all in for Jesus. I believe that God's called me to be part of this. See, that's a testimony right there, amen. See, when I share those things, that is your cue to be like, I'm celebrating that. God did something, the Lord moved, the Lord acted, I'm going to rejoice and celebrate it. Amen. See, we listen to each other's testimony. When we share our testimony, when God moves, when God does something good, when God provides, can I encourage you? Share it with someone. Share the good thing that God did. You might be like, oh, nothing really good has happened. It's like, well, did He provide some finances so you could replace your tires? Is that a testimony? If you didn't have the money, God provided the money, I'll celebrate with you for that. Amen? The small things, the big things. See, what's your testimony? Well, that God saved you, that God redeemed you, that God provided finance, provided food, a spouse, a car, a work colleague got saved. Your testimony is what God does for you through Jesus. Amen. Share it. Share it. Don't focus on the chaos when you share it. but share the good things that God did. Focus on what he did. Some scriptural significance to help us with this morning. In Romans 12:15, it says this, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn." Now the voice says, if some have cause to celebrate, join in the celebration. If others are weeping, join in that as well. I want to encourage you to be balanced. We can't just always be like, let's celebrate, when someone's over here like, it's like, oh, my life is like turning upside down right now. So we move between the two. We dynamically move between the two, spiritually and emotionally, amen. We move between those things. See, celebration gives opportunity for celebration. Sounds silly, right? Celebration gives opportunity for celebration. If no one's celebrating, no one gets the opportunity to celebrate. If you've got something worth celebrating in your life, tell somebody. Share it with somebody. If God moved supernaturally, I know that there's people sitting in this room right now who have wrestled for many years to be able to get a house, to buy their house, and God supernaturally moved and created a way for it to happen. I got to ask, if that's you today, and don't put your hand up because this is like just a moment between me and you and the Lord. Have you shared that good news with somebody? Have you, or have you just been like internally, it's like, God, thank you so much. Celebration gives the opportunity for others to celebrate. There's a togetherness that happens in celebration. See, in John 7, 37 to 38, it says this. And this is Jesus. And it says this. On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart." They're in the middle of a celebration, celebrating the festival, celebrating what God has done. And I want to encourage you that Jesus takes this moment to invite people, not just to be part of a celebration, but to be part of eternal life, to be part of him. See, what God is doing gives a way for people to hear about God's goodness. When we share about the good things of God, the testimony of the Lord in our lives, we share it publicly, we share it with people in our family, we may even share it with people in our workplace. And they're like, hang on a second. You're telling me that God provided, da, da, da. You're telling me that God saved your child. Da. So yes, I am telling you that. It creates a moment for other people to hear of God's goodness, for other people to hear of Jesus. See, what Jesus did in this moment was give anyone who would listen the opportunity to get the greatest gift, eternal life and salvation. Amen. Luke 15:7 says this, "I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who don't need to repent." See, when you hear this scripture, maybe your heart rejoices. Or maybe your heart's cynical. And your heart's like, why would heaven rejoice over me? And regardless of where you are today, I want to encourage you with this next passage of scripture, Zephaniah 3:17. "The Lord your God wins victory after victory and is always with you. He celebrates and sings because of you, and he will refresh your life with his love." I want to tap in for a moment that God celebrates and sings because of you. And, you know, for those of you who are like, oh, why would heaven want to rejoice over me? God celebrates and sings because of you. So, but I haven't done anything. You received Jesus as Lord and Savior. He restored you as a son and daughter. For him, that's enough to celebrate over you, to sing over you. See, God's heart exercises joyful celebration over you. See, our divine practice of joyful celebration is God's practice. This is why I'm pushing in on this today. It's God's practice. We're not coming up with something to say, oh, I had this idea that we should be more joyful in our celebration. No, this is God's practice, and we're joining Him in His practice. It's a godly practice. Third point today, celebrate what is to come. I've got some scriptures out of Revelation today. For those of you who are scared of Revelation, don't be scared of Revelation. God's goodness is in the book of Revelation. And we're going to start in chapter 19, 6 and 7. And it says, "Then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd or a roar of a mighty ocean waves or the crash of loud thunder. Praise the Lord, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to Him, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and His bride has prepared herself." Next passage of Scripture, Romans 20:21, says this, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or no more mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" I want to encourage you around this today. In Matthew 2 verse 2 says this, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son." See, the return of Jesus, we talk about celebrating what is to come. Oh, there are some amazing things to come. To be honest, I can't wait. We've got some amazing things to look. Anyone who would call upon the name of the Lord, it's a future celebration to look forward to. I'm excited to join with you all and celebrate in heaven when God comes and returns, Jesus returns. But be encouraged today. If you're looking forward to the future celebration of getting to heaven, and if that future celebration is causing you to lament your time on earth right now, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. Yep, we're looking forward with anticipation. I'm ready to rejoice and celebrate in heaven. See, we need to look just a little bit further forward with anticipation, celebrating what is to come. We look forward at what God's going to do, and we're ready to celebrate when God provides to help us pay off our building. We're looking just a little bit further forward to celebrate the plans that God has for us going forward and growing into new spaces. See, there's a better way to use your time here on earth right now. God is doing great things in His kingdom. God is doing great things in His church, in the lives of people, in our church. He's doing great things in the lives of people that you're closely connected to. I want to encourage you, it is time to activate the spirit of joyful celebration and rejoicing in your life. I get it. It can be hard if you've had a season or seasons of difficulty and loss or traumatic circumstances. And I want to encourage you, if that's you right now, it's time to allow God to minister to those raw emotions and to those dark places. Come to Jesus. Allow Him to heal the heartache so that you can join Him in the celebration of your salvation. So that you can celebrate in all that He has done, all that He's doing, and all that He's going to do. You know, we talk about this morning's message, rejoicing, the divine practice of joyful celebration. We have entered a season as a church of joyful celebration. I don't know if you picked up on it, but if you're looking for something to celebrate what God is doing right now, we have entered a season of joyful celebration. God has done some amazing things. He's doing some phenomenal things in us and in our church. And so maybe you're like, well, what do I do with this? Well, cultivate a spirit of joy. Step number one, cultivate a spirit of joy. What's the call to action from this morning's message for all of us who are in this space, for those of you who are watching online? Well, the call to action is this. Celebrate with festivals that rejoice in God's goodness. Next week, we get a festival of God's goodness. Turn of 40. It's at complete odds with like the natural order of things, isn't it? Like as a human, you turn 40 and you're like, I'm like 38. As a church, we're turning 40. It's like, come on, I can't wait to be 50, right? I can't wait to be 100. How good is this? Call to action. Celebrate what God was done. Celebrate what God is doing. Celebrate what is to come. Let's be a people who celebrate together. Let's be a people who celebrate together. You know, I specifically felt for some people who are here today that you want to celebrate. Like deep in your heart, it's like, I want to be someone who celebrates. But I find it so very hard to be someone who's in the middle of a celebration. I'm kind of on the outside going, you know, there are some things that may have stolen your joy. Some circumstances, some situations that have stolen your joy. I want to encourage you that God wants to come and bring deep healing to the heartache. God wants to restore to you the joy of your salvation. God wants to bring you to a place. You know, for those of us, I'll include myself in this, for those of us who have maybe been standing back on the outside and it's like, I'm celebrating, I prefer to be in the celebration, but it's like, there's a reason for it. When crazy things happen in our lives, it begins to cut at our emotional connection. And when your emotional connection has been hammered away at in challenging circumstances and situations, it's really difficult and hard to really just emotionally connect to what's happening in our world, to our family members, to God, to the celebration that's happening. I want to encourage you today. God wants to heal that so that you can be emotionally and spiritually connected. Amen. I felt there were some other people in the space today that you're in a place where you need to begin some deep healing and restoration. And maybe you've tried some things before, but kind of took your foot off the pedal. Or maybe you got prayed for once and you thought that was going to fix everything. God begins something when you prayed for the first time. But he wants to continue to do the work, amen. See, all God needs today is for you to have put yourself in a place. It's like, God, I want you to start moving in my heart. God, I want you to start ministering to my heart. You know, Psalms 51:12 says this, restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Another translation says it like this, restore the joy of his salvation to me and provide me with a spirit of willing obedience. You know, if that's you today, I just close your eyes for a moment. I'm coming towards the end now, but just where you're seated right now, just as you're in this place, Holy Spirit, I pray for every single person. For those who would say, yeah, I want God to move in my heart. I want to be someone who's able to celebrate. I want to be someone who can lift my head and be like, I'm celebrating what God is doing. Holy Spirit, I pray that you begin to come and minister to each and every single heart right now. Let your spirit begin to move. Let the spirit of joy, the fruit of the spirit, joy, let it begin to be imparted. Holy Spirit, let that seed germinate. Holy Spirit, let that seed be watered. Let that seed be cultivated for growth. Holy Ghost, I pray that you come and do a move of your spirit that only you can do, Father God. Let divine healing be released into hearts right now, Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Just as our eyes are still closed this morning, know, be remiss of me to not give you the opportunity, if you don't know Jesus personally, if you haven't accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, it'd be remiss of me not to give you this opportunity. You know, God sent his son Jesus because he loved the world. He loves every single human. He wants to see them restored into relationship. That's why Jesus came, walked on the earth, blameless, went to the cross, was buried, rose again on the third day for the forgiveness of our sin. And just as your eyes are closed, I want to redraw your attention to Luke 15:7. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. God, heaven wants to rejoice this morning. Heaven wants to rejoice at someone who turns their heart back to him and says, oh, God, I need you. I call on the name of Jesus. See, when you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. It says in Romans 10:13. And just as our eyes are still closed this morning, I want to give all of us the opportunity to pray that prayer of salvation, of confessing with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in our heart that God raised him. If that's you today, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer after me today. If you're online, this is your opportunity to come into relationship with God. Church, can I invite you to join me in praying this prayer as well? Let's pray. Dear God, nice and loud, dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus, that he went to the cross, that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day for the forgiveness of my sins. I confess with my mouth, I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord and you raised him. I repent of my sin. I turn from my own ways. I surrender my life to you, and I choose to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.